So, Father, we thank you so very much again for this assembly today. What a great privilege it is to come together, to dwell in your presence, to abide one with another. Fellowship with your Spirit is truly a great privilege. We do not take it for granted. As we come again this morning, we are fully aware, fully conscious that in ourselves we cannot deliver, neither can we receive this exalted, this matchless wisdom of God compressed into these volumes called the Bible. We want to thank you for this marvelous word. As we come again to share it and also to receive it, we come humbling ourselves afresh, asking for fresh mercy. Mercy both to deliver as well as receive. In particular, I come to ask for fresh mercy. I strip myself of every confidence in my preparation alone. My confidence is to use your mercy, use your grace, use the help that you give so that my preparation will be useful in your hands. And as I speak, you will make my tongue like a pen of a ready writer. That is what will go forth in accuracy, in power, in great clarity and simplicity. Wherever it goes in all the earth, your power will follow it to cause men not to be hearers only, but to be doers of this word, that they might receive the blessing therein in the name of Jesus. I ask also, Lord, for mercy to be faithful, help me to be concise, to be precise, so not to say anything unnecessary. Bringing forth from out of the treasure of this marvelous word, things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom in the name of Jesus. As I speak, let there be a free course of your word from you through me. Help me to be a vessel, Lord God, that is completely and totally purged of self. So this will be a pure word, a pure chalice, Lord, and a pure flowing forth as rivers of living water to touch the hearts and lives of all present, myself included, causing our minds to be more enlightened by revelation knowledge, our wills to be more humble and submitted to your will, and our emotions to be controlled even more by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. I also ask for mercy to be faithful. I humble myself and I duck under the anointings of my fathers. And I ask for mercy to be a faithful steward of this word they have taught me. As I speak, this word will go forth as a river of life, bringing refreshment to all, but especially to them. As they eat and drink of this vine they have planted, they will be tremendously satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you, Lord, because you are faithful. You will not lie to David. What you have promised, you will surely do. And you will do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask, all that we can imagine. We pray, we ask and receive in the matchless name of Jesus. And the people say, and so it is, in Jesus' name. We want to thank God again for the great special privilege to bring the word again today. It's a book of Acts. Most of us know that already, but for those who don't know, we are studying the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, as it were, is a sort of foreteller, a precursor, so to speak, of the glory that's about to come, which is imminent. Amen. We had the blood moon in Nigeria this morning. Can you imagine God? God is so grateful. The blood moon in Nigeria. It was visible in, and I didn't see it, but those, I'm sure it was in the, oh, it's an evening. Okay, it's going to be an evening. Okay, Pastor Wally has the timing, you know. He's the man on the internet. There's a blood moon going to show this evening in Nigeria. Can you believe that? Signs and wonders in the heavens. Look up, your redemption is nigh. Hallelujah. Great things are happening. Anyway, so we want to thank God. And, you know, like we said, the book of Acts is a precursor, as it were. It gives us an idea of what exactly is going to happen when the glory that we're believing God for, we're receiving, as it's imminent now in the church, begins to manifest. Amen? So we study the book of Acts. Now, we know that this is the glory of the former house. But because we are the greater, the glory of the greater, the latter house shall be greater, we can extrapolate from what we see in the book of Acts. Amen? So we examined last time, by the help of the Holy Spirit, the mature response of the apostles to the contention that broke out from the Greek Jews who were murmuring because their wives had been neglected in the handing out of the daily ministration. Amen? And they did three things. We said they called everybody together. They included everybody in the solution. We said that was a principle of inclusion. Then we saw that they also humbled themselves. These apostles, they didn't really have to explain, but they humbled themselves and they told the brethren the reason why they could no longer be partaking in the serving of these handout relief items. And, you know, it was because they had to spend their time in the word and prayer. We saw this as a principle of accountability. And we said it's very important, this principle, because the servant of the Lord is not to lord it as over the Lord's heritage. We are to serve as ministers of God, as pastors, as shepherds, we're to serve and not to fleece the sheep of God. Amen? Now, like Pastor taught us, we're to serve and give account to the flock, but we are not your servants. Amen? Pastor made that very clear. Yes, we are servants. Bible says the servant is the greatest. But really, the truth of the matter is our responsibility, though it is to you, is first and primarily to God. So we're not to look at your faces, amen, before we serve what God wants us to serve. Amen. Some people don't like that. But the churches, when that doesn't take place, when they look at the faces of the congregation to bring the word. But we're not to do that. So they gave account to the flock. And the sheep were able to partake in the decision that was made to now select certain people among them whom they knew, the Bible says, to become the first deacons of the church. And we said that in Philippians chapter 1 verse 1, we see the three tiers of church order, church government, the bishops and overseers. This was preached by Derek Prince, many years ago. I heard it and I've never just stuck like that. Philippians 1:1. Amen? So we see there bishops, overseers who are in charge of the spiritual oversight function of the church. In this category, you have the fivefold ministry of the pastor, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the prophet, and the apostle. Fivefold ministries. Their own calling is being apt to teach. They teach people and feed the flock of God through the word of God. Then we saw the deacons, which in this particular passage we're in, were elected. Well, not elected. They were selected by the people, but they were appointed and anointed by the disciples, by the apostles. So the people selected them from among them, people whom they knew, because of course the apostles didn't know everybody, but they got people that they knew, and then the apostles prayed, then laid hands upon them and set them into the ministry of deacons. Now, deacons, we said, have the same qualifications as the bishops, except they do not teach. And we showed from, I think it was 1 Timothy chapter 9, thereabouts, that the deacons are also, the Bible says, to hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. What does that mean? That means that they're also supposed to hold the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and be practicing it in faith, with a pure heart. Amen? Otherwise, they don't qualify. If you're just using that parameter alone, you can cancel out 80-90% of the deacons in the church today. Amen? Deaconship is not white hair. Deaconship is not money. Amen? So the disciples said, they said they had to give themselves the word to the ministry, to prayer, and the ministry of the word. We said prayer always precedes the ministry of the word. And we said God himself said in Isaiah chapter 56, says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for nations. Amen. And the same scripture the Lord Jesus Christ quoted in his time upon the earth in Matthew chapter 21, where he said, this is what the scripture says. The Lord says, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. But he now lamented and said, but you have made it a den of thieves. And we said, this is exactly what happens. Wherever you do not make prayer priority in a ministry, ultimately that ministry becomes a den of thieves. Ultimately. This is prayer that keeps you on the straight and narrow. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is the lifeblood of ministry. How can you not prioritize prayer? We said, that's number one business. Number two business is the word of God. Amen? The church is the place to go for the interpretation, the ministration of the word of God. Anybody who is in church comes to hear the word, or should come to hear the word. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, it talks about the church being the ground and pillar of truth. Amen? The Bible says we're to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. That means you can wrongly divide it. So you need to go to church where the word is rightly divided. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. So the prayer comes first and then the word. The secret of true divine success, we'll be talking about much later, is a ministry of life, of diligent daily labor in prayer and the word by the life of God. Amen. And we said we are to replicate what we see in this house in that regard. The ministry that has been set before us so plainly by our fathers. That says, look unto Abraham and Sarah. Every one of us, that's where you're supposed to be looking at. Now, of course, we know that you're looking at them as they look after. The Bible says, follow me as I follow after Christ. But the evidence that is set before you is what you're supposed to reproduce, like those straight, you know, pillars that were set before the sheep at the trough in the book of Genesis. Amen? So we are to reproduce families after the family that we see before us. Pastor Lubima, Mr. Harry Johnson. All of us are supposed to come. Ministries of twos, the Bible says, God sent them forth two by two. Amen? You don't remember? Everybody's looking at me funny. God said about two guys. Hello, folks. What is the unity of the church? The family. That's why God is giving us a family to model ourselves after, showing us the first fruits. And if the first fruits is holy, the Lord must also be holy. You're holy in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's go now. Today, we're going to start from Acts chapter 6, back up to verse 7. So we see. Now, this is what happened after the disciples were chosen, the deacons were chosen out of the number of disciples. The Bible says, let's read this together. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Stop there a minute. Can you see what happens when everything goes as it should? You see, Satan wanted to disrupt the move of the Spirit by bringing in murmuring and disunity. But look what happened. When the disciples, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, selected his deacons, anointed them, and set them, said the people were pleased. And look what happened. The word increased, the number of disciples, it multiplied greatly, and even the priests in the temple began to get born again in great numbers. Amen? Isn't God great? I'm sure some of the prayers that those apostles have been praying have something to do with it. Amen. But that's for another day. Let's go on now. Next verse. Verse 8. That's where we're going to start from. And Stephen. This is a guy that was mentioned throughout this chapter. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Next verse. And there arose, as they always will, and there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of Satan. Sorry, no, forgive me. Well, it could very well be. We'll see that in a moment. Called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, Asian Jews, like Libyan Jews, all these ones, these are Jews that have been set free. Amen. And they're disputing with Stephen. Next verse. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Next verse. Then they suborned men. We said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Wow. Next verse. And they stirred up the people and the elders, and the scribes came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. Next verse. And they set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak. This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. Next verse. For we had heard him say, everyone knew, that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. Next verse. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as he had been the face of him. Now, this should have told those people that, moment, I've been so here. Can you imagine? You're lying against the person, and his face is filled with glory. Anyway, we'll get to that. Let's back up now. So, we see here, Acts 6 verse 8. We see here the account of one of the foremost of the early apostles, a man by the name of Stephen. Let's look at his credentials. He was the only one of all the deacons chosen by, that was mentioned by the Spirit for special mention. Give me Acts chapter 6 verse 3 quickly. I want to run through his credentials. These are credentials given by the Spirit. So, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom may appoint over this business. Next verse. Next verse. What we see here, where he was selected. Next verse. Thank you. And the same pleased the multitude. Look at the person they mentioned first. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. We know the names of the others too. But the essence is, Stephen had a good report. He was full of the Holy Ghost and he was wisdom. So he must have had some humility. Amen. Because wisdom is given to the humble. Amen. Acts 6 chapter 5 says he was a man full of faith and Holy Ghost. Acts 6, 8 says he was full of faith and power. So, Stephen was an exemplary disciple, if you want to put it that way, amen? He had an honest report, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, full of wisdom, full of power, full of all that, God gave at that time. And yet he was killed. And yet he was martyred. Amen. Is there a lesson here for us somewhere? Amen. He's the first disciple also to be recorded that he was doing miracles, and not ordinary miracles though. He was doing great wonders and miracles among the people. And yet, hello somebody. This man just keep by faith the borrowed anointing. He just saw what was on the apostles. You know, they said he didn't dare to join themselves to the apostles. He didn't join them, but he keep by faith. He joined them in the spirit. He joined himself in the spirit. And he began doing all these great miracles. Amen. Reminds of that disciples in Mark chapter 9. How many people remember Mark 9? Or is it Luke 9? Mark, I think Mark 9 and Luke 9. This man that was not with the inner caucus of Jesus, who however was doing the same miracles, or doing even greater miracles. And the apostles heard him and they said, Lord, shall we tell him to stop because he followeth not with us? What did Jesus say? He said, this man doing miracles cannot lightly speak of me. He cannot speak lightly of me. Amen. Which is the heart of that man was right towards the Lord. So he got the same anointing the disciples were, and the 70 were operating. This is exactly the same thing that happened to this brother, this man by the name of Stephen. By faith, he just keyed in and he began to do not just ordinary miracles, great miracles. Hello, brethren, what does he tell us? It's God that gives his anointing. It doesn't matter what you are on the outside or what you think you are. Amen. God looks upon the heart. Give me Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17:10, quickly. Hello, somebody. Are we following? There's a lesson for us here. For I, the Lord, give me this in NIV. Yeah. Yes, please, NIV. Look what it says. I, the Lord, search the heart. What does he do? He searches the heart. And examine the mind. To do what? To reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. In other words, God first of all looks at his heart. And he saw that this guy had a great heart, full of the Holy Ghost, honest report, full of, you know, power. And he just gave him the anointing. He was in line and in sync with what God was doing through the apostles. So God says, I ask the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins to give to every man according to the fruit of his spirit. Amen? Now, what is this for us? I wrote here, I said, be careful, Lord. Yeah, you know the beautiful thing about this? It doesn't matter what men say. Amen? It doesn't matter what men say. They're going to be shocked. We're going to see some surprises in this hour, this move of God. There are some people that men despise. Hello? You will just see them. You won't know how they'll like this guy, George Stephen. Like the guy Mark 9. Men will despise them. Hello, somebody. He says, don't be afraid, little flock. It is your father's good pleasure to give. You know that little is not just in size. It also means those who men have thought as little. Who think, you know, that people have made little of. Humble. Yes, it's humble. I'm using that metaphorically, you know. Little in the eyes of man, but big in the eyes of God. God will give you the kingdom. And that power will be yours to use. Amen. We're going to see surprises of that. It says, many that are first. Thankfully, not all. He just says many. So you are not among the many. Say amen. Say many are first, shall be last. I know that last shall be first. We will not be last and first and last. In Jesus' name, amen. But that's very true for us. Because by the grace of God, we are part of the first fruits. You and I. So we need to take heed to ourselves and unto the doctrine. Amen. Give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. Amen. So, what do we see? This Stephen, this exemplary, what do we see? Immediately Satan attacks. Satan is terrible, though. He's been looking for a way to get an inroad. He has tested the apostles. He's failed twice. Hello? He tried to use the Greek Jews to create disunity. He failed. He's looking for somewhere to come in. So, immediately, he attacks this man. This Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, full of power, doing great miracles to stop him. Why? Before other disciples begin to, and then the anointing begins to, he's still dealing with the apostles, he hasn't finished. One of his disciples has now gotten the hold of the thing. So he wants to snuff him out before other people can start. And then we see the whole church, zoom. That's what he tried to do. Beloved, exactly the same thing is going to try to happen to us. Exactly. Satan doesn't have any new plans. Amen. But don't worry, don't be afraid. He's going to try to. Because when you start to manifest, you become a target. Hello? You're already a target. You're already a target. That's just the honest truth. But don't be afraid. The Bible says the glory of the latter house, it shall be exceedingly greater than the former. And that glory is your defense. So the defense of this greater house, this latter house, is far greater than the defense we had in the former. Same glory, different magnitude, different defense. And you have fathers covering you. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Amen. But even, boy, let me just tell you something. Just make up your mind. Even if it happens, though he slay me, I will still serve him. Doesn't matter. Even if I go, I'm still coming back in glory anyway. Hallelujah. So David said the devil loses on all counts. Amen. But it will not happen. You got to have mercy. Amen. The glory of the latter house is a great defense. So we have far more, and we also have far more revelation knowledge. We have the knowledge of what to do, how to keep Satan out. Pastor has been teaching us some of these things. Amen. Amen. So the question now is, how was it? I hope you know. How was it that Satan was able to overcome this young man, Stephen, who was specially ministered and singled out by the Spirit? We have a very strong clue. Give me Acts chapter 6, verse 9. Acts chapter 6, verse 9. Then, let's read together. Then there arose, and it will always arise when good things are happening, certain of the synagogue. These were Jews. Oh. These were Jews. Which are called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia. Now read this verse. Disputing with Stephen. Give me this in the Amplified. As a treasure trove in this verse. It says, however, some of those who belong to the synagogue of the freedmen, the free Jewish slaves, that's why they call them Libertines, as they were called, and of the synagogues of the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of those of Cilicia and the province of, arose and undertook. In other words, they took it upon themselves too. That's what it means when you say you undertake. Once you have an undertaking, you accept a brief. Who gave them the brief? Satan. And they wanted back. You know, it's like, now Satan is going and say, look, I'm Satan. Come and do this for me. He just put thoughts in their minds. Just sowed seed in their minds. This Stephen, I mean to take him down. He's too proud. We're going to take him down. All these things he's talking about. Let's do something. Let's go and talk to him. Let's go and argue with him. So he undertook. So Satan prompted them and they accepted. They received that undertaking. And then they went and said, began to dispute with Stephen. Now, give me this in the NIV. Quickly. Dispute with him. Opposition arose. As they always do. Amen. For the word's sake. However, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, Jews, again, look, these guys are not, they're not unbelievers. They are Christians. They are the same household with Stephen. They are Jews. They go to the synagogue like Stephen. That's why I said that they're the synagogue of Satan. They're Jews. They are the same household. That's why the pastor's been teaching us, you know, to take care of your household. We'll get to that in a minute. It says, these men began to what? Argue with Stephen. What were they doing? Arguing and disputing. They weren't having a jolly conversation. They weren't smiling at each other. And you know what? You cannot argue by yourself. You can't argue all of yourself. How can you argue with yourself? You can only argue with somebody that is sending back as he's receiving. I cannot argue with myself. I need Pastor Wally to contend with me. Do you understand? You're not contending, Pastor Wally. That's what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? An argument is a twofold thing. Both of them are trying to forcibly convince the other of his viewpoint. Hello? Folks, this opposition of Jews was raised up by the devil to set Stephen up. Set him, and he set him up. Give me this birth. Matthew chapter 10 verse 34. I think I have time for that. Yes. Matthew 10 verse 34. We're going to speak to us prophetically. We're talking about the coming of the Lord here. Matthew 10, 34. Matthew 10, 34. 30. 3, 4. Hey. Yes. This is the Lord Jesus speaking about his coming to earth. We're expecting his coming, and he's speaking to us concerning this issue. He says, think not that I'm come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Next verse. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against the mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Next verse. All members of the same house. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Just, this is significant prophetically. He's not talking so much about mother and father. That is included. That's why pastor's been teaching us how to cover the members of our household so they can leave us in peace. Particularly those that are not born again. But they're members of your household. You will save your household in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. So that they can live in peace. So that when God comes, God will find you in peace. You're not being agitated by those around you, like these Jews set up another Jew, a Christian, quote unquote, named Stephen. Amen. So this is prophetically significant as the Lord comes to church. The Bible says we are saved the house. So Satan raised up these Jews to take on Stephen in argument and debate. What were they debating? The law of Moses versus the law of righteousness. Law of Moses has been done away. No, it has not been. The law of righteousness is there. No, it's not true. Hello, somebody. Totally unnecessary. Even if you didn't say a word, God's word would still be fulfilled. So he didn't have to. God can fight his own battles. Hello? And then when he discovered that Stephen, oh God have mercy, was speaking by a wisdom they could not perceive, they could not come against. That's what the Bible promised. The Lord Jesus Christ promised, when you come before councils, I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to gainsay. So he was speaking by the Holy Ghost, they were speaking in the flesh. Guess who won? Quote unquote, won. Because ultimately, I mean, it got him into trouble. Of course, Stephen was able to deliver the word. He gave it blast. The thing just raised. Instead of the people accepting, they just got envious. They were, this man, we must take him down. Amen? So, in vengeance, give me Acts 6:11. In vengeance, it says they were not able to resist the wisdom. Then they suborned. Stop there. That word is highly significant. What does it mean to suborn? Give me something amplified. Are we following together? God is teaching us something. The Bible says they secretly instigated. Why in secret? Who does anything righteously in secret? Say they secretly instigated men and instructed men to say, suborn. I just want to look at that. Give me this in the ASV. It says induced. It said they induced. How do you induce something? You know the example God gave me? I remember when my first son was going to be born. And it was taking a little bit of time to come. And the doctor said, we had to induce. I said, what's that? I said, I had to put something called Pitocin. I don't even know what. So they put Pitocin in, and the guy was induced. What does that? And he came. What does that mean? It means that it would not ordinarily have happened as it ought to, but you have to put something additional to make the event come to pass. Hello? So they induced false witnesses. How do you induce a false witness? In Nigeria, we call it settle. The induction is settling. They settle them. Let me leave it like that. In Nigeria, we call it settle. So they were settled. They were, okay, let's use the word. They were bribed. Now, if you have a point, why would you bribe? So you can see that this thing was satanic. They bribed and used some form of illegitimate persuasion to get these people to come and give false witness against Stephen, accusing him of blaspheming Moses, blaspheming God, and all this now created a stir among the people, a stir among the elders, and the next thing you know, they arrested Moses. They arrested Stephen. Hello, somebody. Folks, we don't want it. We need to take heed, because these are examples for us in this time. Let me show you where Stephen went wrong. Several scriptures come to mind. How we begin something on this. Give me James chapter 3 verse 16. Quickly. James 3:16. Help it, Lord. For where envy and strife is, there is what? Confusion. And some. Every. So, in other words, he was standing on Satan's ground. That's what contention does. Let's read it all. Let's read it. Next verse, quickly. I want to show you something. Except for the wisdom that is from above is what? First pure. Then peaceable. There was no peace in this one. Gentle. It wasn't gentle. It was forcible argument. And easy to be treated, full of mercy, full of goodness, without partiality. If you have a Bible like mine, that place that says without partiality says without wrangling. Because see, contention. Without hypocrisy. Next verse. And, what does it say? Where it says the fruit of righteousness. Next verse. Give me the next verse. Thank you. And the fruit of righteousness is sown how? In peace by them that make peace. So we know this was not peace. Then it says in verse, we won't go there because of time. It says in 2 Timothy 2:24, it says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be apt to teach and must be gentle to all men. The one that we are going to look at is very important. Proverbs 13:10. This is a law. Proverbs 13:10. Only by. But you said he was humble. What's the problem there? And the Lord said to me, said, yes, he was humble to a degree. But there are degrees of humility. Just like the Lord Jesus. He was humble when he went into the temple and he left his parents for 3 whole days. Hello? He didn't sin. He was just that he had not learned wisdom to the degree to know what to do. The Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom. Does that mean he was not humble? No. It means he was growing in humility and therefore was growing and increasing wisdom all the time. So these guys, remember, these people were spiritual babies. Even the apostles were babes. But they had the anointing in full measure. So in this guy was doing miracles. He was such a great guy. Are you telling that he had grown enough to overcome all pride as a spiritual baby? I don't like it. Why are we saying all this? It's important. Because all of us are in the process of growing. And someday, as you are growing, by the grace and mercy of God, God will download upon you the anointing without measure. You start with the boiled anointing. You begin to do mighty deeds, wonderful miracles. They begin to say, ah, Pastor Wiley, wow, a man full of faith. A man full of wisdom, of power. A man who is doing great miracles among the people. Don't listen, oh. Yeah, you cast it down. Joe, you go, all those crowns they're giving you, just be casting them down at the throne of God. Emiko is God. Hello? Because if you don't, human nature, because we're all still removing that nature out. We'll remove it by the blood, by the word, you know, perfecting holiness. If you want to get there, make sure you don't take the glory. Hello, somebody. I'm going to close soon. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14. Quickly. I love this one. This one is great. The beginning of strife. Let's read together. Are we getting something out of this day? The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Once you let water out, you can't gather it back again. Utijadi. Says, therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Don't even start. Because once you start, you don't know where it's going to end up. When Stephen left those guys that day, he thought that was the end. He had won the argument. But the devil was brewing something in their hearts to come and back against him. He didn't know it was Satan. He just thought it was a normal thing. He won the debate. Hallelujah. God is good. Look where it came back. Leave off contention before it be meddled with. Give me the NIV. It says, drop the matter. It says, starting a quarrel is like breaching it down. Once the body doubt it down here. So drop the matter before, not after. Not after you won the debate. Before a dispute breaks out. Hello? Are we getting something out of this? So the man, this means that in spite of himself, because there was a dispute, in spite of himself being full of wisdom, he didn't drop the matter, entered into strife, the devil's playground. And she, like I said, he thought it was over. But you know the devil as I do. When you give the devil an inch, he goes a lot farther than you think. That's why I say, neither give place to the devil. Don't even allow it. Amen? Oh, have mercy on us. But like I said, remember, he was still a spiritual baby. And we too will learn in Jesus' name. Let me just give you one word here before we go. Proverbs 14:7. You're looking at the book of Proverbs this morning, the book of wisdom. Proverbs 14:7. It says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. If you can obey this, once you start talking, don't get into strife. Once you start talking to somebody you see is talking nonsense, just say, God bless you. Thank you. God bless. You know, I love Pastor. You know, he can relate to anybody and everybody. And he does it in such humility. I remember the story they gave us, how God broke him. But he used to have all these ideas, you know, about how good he, God broke him. And God will break every one of us. Amen. See, nobody said amen. Only Pastor Wale. Let God break you all. Don't get to a point where you know too much. Eh? Yes, you may have that knowledge, but Bible says knowledge puffeth up. It is charity that edifies. Our job is to edify the church. You will edify yourself. You will edify your church in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If this guy had just done this, he would have lived long and he'll continue doing miracles. Amen. But why is he here? We will learn, so that we'll learn from his weakness. And we never allow ourselves to be drawn to debate all this stuff about, you know. But hey, you know what the best thing to do? Be a written epistle. When the glory comes, and it's coming, when they see who you are in Christ, every contention will cease. The Bible talks about the year of the recompenses of God. And what was that about? Isaiah chapter 38, thereabouts. It says that the year of recompenses and the year of the putting aside of all contention. I can't remember the exact phraseology. But the essence is that the time has come for all controversy of Zion to cease. Yeah, that's what that says. Every controversy. Amen? Or concerning Mount Zion. Just act who you are. Be who you are in Christ. Don't talk. Just manifest. Hallelujah! But you know, let's conclude. Now, this is how the devil does it. So you need to be very careful. He says, now, in verse 11, it says, Stephen was accused of blaspheming God, blaspheming Moses, and saying that Jesus said he would destroy the temple. This is how the devil does. He just distorts whatever. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, you destroy the temple. I will raise it up in 3 days. Speaking about the temple of his body. So the devil used the word, but he said the exact opposite of what Jesus said, and which is what Stephen must have said. Just the exact opposite. And he said he's going to change Moses' law. No, Jesus didn't come to change Moses' law. He said in his book, he said, I think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets, but I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. Exact opposite. But you see, if Stephen had refrained from speaking, he would not have given them ammunition to contort, to distort. That's what the devil does. That's the father of lies. He just changes truth, changes the word, corrupts it, and distorts it for his own pleasure. Be careful. So, you can see these people as we begin to close. Were satanically inspired. Satan is the father of lies. Amen? So, but the good thing about it is that when he got to the council, my God, he's so good. When God knew this guy was in trouble. Now, why did God not send angels to deliver? I don't know. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But I believe it's instructed to us. Because for this man, this great disciple, to be, you know, martyred. I said, God, why didn't you just do something? Why didn't you just do something? I still don't have an answer yet. But I know it's in there to instruct us against what Stephen did. Don't contend. Don't go to strife. Amen? What happened? God was still with him. When he stood before the council, God is good. God will stand with you in your hour of need in Jesus' name. You know what the Bible says? His face was like the face of an angel. What does that mean? The guy was shining with glory and everybody saw the glory on him. So they knew that this guy was of God. But see, the devil had, and the Sanhedrin that had been looking for some way to stop the momentum, to reverse the speed of the anointing and the revival, they said, if you take this guy out, put him in jail, they ended up killing him initially. But the essence was they can use this as a tool to stop the momentum of the revival. So they overlooked, but everybody saw that God was with that guy. Because the anointing was not just with him, it was on him, it was seen upon him. Pastor was talking about that recently, about the halo. The anointing will rise upon you and will be seen upon you too. That's what the Bible says. It says, arise, shine. It says the anointing, it says, and you know, the glory of God will be upon, risen upon you and will be seen upon you. And upon me too, in Jesus' name. But look, this is it, folks. Amen. So we're not to be afraid. Now, why? What do we learn out of this? Let me close quickly. I trust we all got something out of this today. One or a few minutes more, we'll close. So we can learn from what happens here. What do we learn? No matter God's giftings to us, we must not allow ourselves to be enticed by the devil. We must not allow ourselves to stray into Satan's turf. Hello, don't say you are strong enough. Don't go there. Don't leave off contention before you be meddled with. Don't be argumentative. And you know there are many ways you get into argument. When a word comes, you are this, you are this. You say, no, not me. What do you argue now? Fire your defense attorney, Papa Ralph, 70 years ago. That's contention already. It may not be open contention, but it's contention here. Of course, none of us have had it before. Hello? You're already on the devil's playground. And if you persist, the devil will not take you out. Hello? No matter how gifted you are, watch your heart. The heart is extremely important. Leave off contention. Then, even God forbid, we allow ourselves to get into enemy territory and Satan has the upper hand, God is always faithful. I can never forget Job. Job, you know, Job was on the way out. All it would have taken was for Satan to find out about Job's pride in Job's heart, that he was not obeying spiritual law. But God did what? God pointed out Job to Satan before Satan discovered Job. Which tells you the devil doesn't know everything at all times. There's some things about you God has not allowed him to see. To protect you. But believe him. Get rid of those negative things, because somewhere along the line, the devil will come looking. Says, I go through and through the whole earth looking. And that's how God saved Job. By pointing out Job's heart condition and the fact he was not obeying spiritual law. So that he could save Job's life. Amen. God is good though. And the other thing you want to learn is that it takes time to grow spiritually. And that's what happened here. I believe that's really what happened to this young man, Steve. He was still a baby, literally. He was doing all these miracles and stuff, yes. But he was still a little child. At the very most, he was a little child. I don't even think he was a young man yet. Because there has been no time. It takes time to grow. Amen. And you take time to grow too. So even if you're a baby or you're a child and the anointing comes, recognize that it is not a carte blanche to do everything and anything. You must grow. Hello, somebody. If the Lord Jesus had to grow in wisdom and in stature to get to where God wanted to take him to, you have to grow too. We have to grow too. Even though we have the anointing. Thank you. One amen. Amen. But the truth is, by the grace of God, like I said earlier on, the rule of the latter house is far greater than the former. And that glory is a defense. So our defense is greater because, number one, we have more revelation by the grace and mercy of God. Now, revelations are no use if we're not working it. We have more revelation. We also have fathers to cover us. Stand up for fathers. So when the father's covering overshadows you, God will keep you safe through there. That's why they're there. To make sure that you have that enabling environment to grow. And he uses that power to nullify the wicked fury darts of the wicked one on our behalf. So we can grow. And we too can begin to exercise ourselves. And then we too become a place of covering for others to find solace under. Amen. And so this is it. So by his grace, you will not fall into this trap of contention. We spend a lot of time speaking about this because it's so important. Because there will be contention. Mark my words. It is coming. So be prepared. And make up your mind that no matter what comes, you're not going to strive. Not even in your heart. Don't even allow it in the sanctity of, if you can call it that, of our hearts. Because the devil sees what's in your heart. And he knows that there's rebellion and contention there. This might not even be Jews that come to, you know, could even be a word from the pulpit here. Hello? Like the word I brought today. And you're arguing your heart. No, you only shall see me. You're already ensnared. Deliver yourself now. Amen. God have mercy upon us. Amen. So this is it, folks. So if God will do it for us, and God will stand with us, even in our times of trial and test. If he did it for Stephen, he's surely going to do it for us. Amen. And in every defense, even if it's martyrdom, he says he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Amen. So we boldly say that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You will not be afraid in this day, because the Lord will stand with you in Jesus' name. And having done all to stand, you will stand in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's speak to the Lord. We talked about Stephen today. Very important personality in the early church. And I spent some time over it because I believe it's important, because it's an example to us that even though we have this wonderful anointing, there are certain rules that apply. Don't open your flanks to Satan. He's going to try. But if you keep yourself in peace, you follow after peace with all men, you stay away from strife, contention, even in your hearts. They debate and dispute you. What's the essence of that? It's to puff you up. It's not to glorify God. God doesn't debate. He just speaks. And he leaves it at that. And his word that he sends forth will perform the thing he has sent to do and prosper therein. So you don't have to do any striving. The word will work itself out. Amen. Ask the Lord. Mercy. Help. He is faithful. Like we said, he stood with Stephen in the hour. We'll talk about that next time around. During the time of his defense, was with him. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord and Father of mankind, forgive foolish ways. Let's now respond to the word that's come this morning, a hand to our heart. Submission and a hand to the Lord asking for help. And repeat these words in faith with understanding. Say, Father, we confess our sins and so we clean with the blood. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word coming to me this morning, reminding me to keep myself and from strife and from contention, knowing that only by pride cometh contention. I understand that as a servant of God in this day of glory, Satan will try to come in to cause me to debate, to strive, and to have contention, even as he did to Stephen of old. I understand by your mercy that I am not to be afraid, because in this latter house, your glory that is greater is an even greater defense, and that I have the covering of spiritual fathers. I understand that the servant of the Lord must not strive, and therefore, Lord, I will not strive. I choose, O Lord, by your mercy and grace, to be faithful, to use the blood, the word, and the spirit, to purge myself of all filthiness, all these infirmities of pride, of contention, of debate, of strife. I humble myself and all my carnal affections to become like Christ. Help me, Lord, not to contend. Help me, Lord, not to strive, but rather, by your mercy and grace, to follow after peace with all men in this season of the manifestation of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in tongues. Ruba sara piketumri kere. Rimbina baba kasa kakoriele. Rimbina mana sari beraya. Ramba tere mosoro keba. Rimbina kareo sere mai. Rimbina ramba tumri avkora. Zambere bina mana biya mana. Kere mina sa. Kere mina mo sabampai. Rebe sombana. Rebe sembe donko baka pilangonika. Rebe daka. Rebe do sere na bodombri amano bikebai. Komani berai. Komani berai. Rimbina zambano mano kasereleya. Father me. Ramba casa, ramba sorombia caban sempenda, rembe saban, tibidon, tibidon, pidon, mene sonda de vilikida, ramba de vit, salome sambaracata, mine sede tombaracata, racaso comeshetera. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord.